This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you all. My name is Pastor Brian de Villiers. I'm so glad to be with you again this morning. And I trust it's going to be a good morning together as we study the Word of God together. I want to continue. I began a week ago on great New Testament conversions. Last time we spoke about Matthew. And today we're going to speak about the woman who was a sinner. It's taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, and I'm going to read from verse 36, and this is what it says. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears, and wiped them with her hair and her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them loved him more?" And Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." And then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair and of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she, this woman, has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same love little." And then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The woman who was a sinner. The incident is recorded, as we have read together this morning, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. It is an illustration of our Lord's words in Matthew 9 and verse 13. And this is what it says to us in Matthew 9 and verse 13. "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." And of the apostles' words that we read in what 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15 tells us. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. These are the words we read. "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." It's a moving story of a woman who sat and was well known in the district where she lived for the kind of life she lived. The phrase "a sinner" was not a general statement. It was at the time synonymous with a prostitute. The woman was a prostitute. She was also well known by the Lord Jesus. He was indeed a prophet and knew all about her. We've read that. He knew all about her. When we read the words of John's Gospel, chapter 4, we read these words in John 4, verse 19 and 29. This is what it says to us. John's Gospel, chapter 4. And this is what it says, chapter verse 19 and 29. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet." Verse 29, "Come and see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" There we have it. Here's this woman. She came to love and trust the Lord as her Savior. And from his lips, she heard his gracious word of assurance to her. And his word of assurance to her was, he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The fact that she was a sinner was the woman's qualification for coming to the Savior. He needed her, and she needed him. Thank God the gospel, and I want to make it clear this morning, the gospel is for sinners. Of course, the Pharisees, whose house the Lord Jesus was a guest, was also a sinner, but whereas the woman was a 500 pence sinner and he was a 5,000 pence sinner. They were sinners. Let's get that straight. But they were both sinners and both needed forgiveness. When we read in Galatians chapter 3, and this is what it tells us, Galatians chapter 3, and I want to read there from verse 10. Galatians 3. And from verse 10, this is what it tells us. It says this: "For many are of the works of the law, are under the curse, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue all these things, or are written in the book of the law to do them.'" And so there we see these words. And Jesus calls this woman. We need to understand that. She received his forgiveness. Let us look at the sinful woman, however, and trace the path from sin to salvation, from misery to life, from peace and joy. Notice the five steps she took. Number one, this woman, she acknowledged her sin and her guilt. It would seem that she had met the Savior before this, had listened to his gracious words, and had actually believed his message and trusted him. This interview with the Lord Jesus was not the first time she had seen or met him, although we have noticed and emphasized the fact that she was a sinner of a special kind. The important thing for us to notice is that we are all sinners, though we may not be guilty of the sin which characterized her life, of this woman. We are sinners by birth, sinners by nature, and sinners by practice. That's what the Bible tells me. It says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all sinned and come short. The word coming short in the Greek there is harmatia. It has to do with you shooting an arrow and missing the mark. And what it says to us here in these words of Romans 3:23, it says we've all sinned and missed the mark. We've come short of the glory of God, and the glory of God is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of our sin, like this woman, we are guilty, because the Bible tells me in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. It was because she and because we are in such need of salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ came and shed his precious blood to make it possible for us to be saved. In Matthew 1 verse 21, when Jesus was going to be born, the angel told them that his name shall be called Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. You got that? His name shall be called Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Number two, she exercised faith in the Saviour. That's what we've learned. We know this because Jesus said to her in verse 50 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, "Then he said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" Her action in coming to the Saviour in Simon's house proved that she believed in him and was beginning to trust him, even if she had not yet fully trusted him. What a moment it was for her to realize that she could be forgiven, that she could be made clean. Isaiah 1 verse 18 says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white like snow." It was all too wonderful in the Lord Jesus. There was pardon, there was cleansing for her, just as there is for anyone who will come to him, confess his or her need, and trust him completely. It is not enough to believe that he can forgive you, that he can cleanse you. You must trust him to do it. You must be washed clean, and only Jesus has the power to make you completely clean. This is what this woman did. I want you to get that this morning. Number three, she at once received full and free forgiveness. Hear that? Full and free forgiveness. We can be quite sure about this. How do I know? Verse 47 tells me about it, and it says this: "Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." There we are told that. And she came to the one who could forgive her sin and cleanse her from all her sin. For your confidence assurance, I want you to give you some references that might help you to see what happens to your sins the moment you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for pardon. And here are the verses that I want you to get this morning. Number one, according to Psalm 103:12, "Your transgressions are completely removed from you." They've been removed. They're not retained. They've been removed. Number two, according to Isaiah 1:18, "You are made absolutely clean. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." According to Isaiah 38, verse 17, "Your sins are cast behind God's back." What does it mean, your sins are cast? He remembers them no more. According to Isaiah 44, 22, "The record of your sins is erased, never to be faced before you ever again." They've been erased. When something's erased, it's obliterated. It's no more. According to Isaiah 43, 25, "Your sins are completely forgotten." God has amnesia when it comes to your sin. According to Micah 7:18, "Your sins are cast into the depths of the sea." And God has put up a sign that says, "No fishing, cast into the depths of the sea." According to 1 John 1:9, it says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." What John 1 verse 9 is telling us, that we stand, we continuously being kept clean through the shed blood of Jesus on Calvary's cross. It's written in the continuous present tense. You go on being clean. All your sins, past, present, future. There's full, free forgiveness for you every moment and every day as you come in humble confession to God, as you say, "Lord, I trust the finished work of Jesus on Calvary's cross. I know he paid the price for my sin in full. I accept it. I claim it, past, present, and future." I want you to get that this morning. Number four, she demonstrated openly her faith, her love for the Lord. We are told this in verses 38, and this is what it says, "And he stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair and her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with oil." Now, when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who's touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say." He says, "There's a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" And Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Have you got that? "You have rightly judged." That's what he told him. The guests, I want you to see them. They were reclining on couches, supporting themselves on one elbow and serving themselves with the other hand. And suddenly this woman, now forgiven, trusting the Savior, overwhelmed with gratitude, came and expressed her love for the Lord. Look at the gift that she brought. See the tears that flowed from her eyes. Notice the kiss, the tenderness with what gratitude she kissed our Lord's feet. But notice this. She was not forgiven because of her love. She was not forgiven because of her gifts. She was not forgiven because of her tears or her kisses. She was forgiven and cleansed on the grounds of God's free grace. You got that? Free grace. But her love and her gifts and her tears and her kisses were the expression of her gratitude for the salvation which she had received by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it say to us when we turn to Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to read there from verse 8 to 10, and this is what it says. "For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, we are his poem, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk therein." So there you have it. We are saved by grace through faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. And we must never forget that. We've been saved by a mighty grace. Number 5, she changed her ways. It's very significant. The words in verse, Jesus says to her, "Go in peace." Literally read, "Go into peace." So the Lord, having forgiven her, cleansed her, and given her the assurance of salvation, sent her forth into a new life where she would know peace with God. Romans 5 verse 1 tells us, "Therefore, having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You can only have peace when you know the Prince of Peace. And Philippians tells us the same thing, that the peace of God should rule in our hearts and in our lives. Philippians 4:7. That's the umpire in our lives, is when we have the peace of God that passes human understanding. She was now a new person altogether. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. "If any man, any woman be in Christ Jesus, they are brand new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new." She went out to live a changed life, no longer an immoral life, but a new life altogether. What we read of here in Luke chapter 7 was only the beginning. She received a new heart. She built a new home. She gathered around her new set of friends. She employed a time and earned her living in a completely brand new way of living. Indeed, all things became brand new to this woman. And as we see the references of what God had done and transformed her life by the grace of God and by the power of Christ, we see in Mark chapter 5 and verse 15, I want to read these in closing to you this morning. Mark chapter 5 and verse 15, it says these wonderful words. Here we are. Mark 5, 15, it says this. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion and sitting and clothed and in his right mind. You hear that? He was in his right mind and they were afraid. Yeah, we've got it. Christ came, the demon-possessed man, Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus. He's going to kill the Christians, but he was changed by the power of God. We need to understand that fully. He was changed by the power of God. And to the Corinthians, they were changed by the preaching of the gospel. Into the Thessalonians, they were again changed. In Ephesians, we read this, the same thing. You were dead once in your trespasses and sin, but now you've been made alive in Jesus Christ. That's why we read the words just a few moments ago, that we are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And we see in all these references that people who came to Christ, their lives were changed completely. I want to ask you this morning, can you say, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart? That's the question. Has your life been changed by the resurrected Jesus? Because he's the way, he's the truth, and the life. And he says to you and to me this morning, come to me, I will give you rest. That's what Jesus says to us. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, he became present possession to them. They received him. To them gave he the power to become the sons and daughters, as many as believed on his name. Will you receive Jesus this morning? Will you ask him to come into your heart? Will you ask him to come into your life? We're going to pray the prayer. Now I want you to pray this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for paying the price for all my sin, past, present, and future. I open my heart, my life to you. I receive you as my Savior. I want to love you, and I want to serve you forever with the help of the Holy Spirit. Help me, I pray, that I am now a child of God. I have received Jesus. Thank you for coming into my life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you've been born again into the family of God. O wonder of all wonders, that through thy death for me, my open sins, my secret sins can all forgiven be. Then melt my heart, O Saviour, bend me, yes, break me down, until I own thee conqueror and Lord and sovereign crown. If you say that this morning, and you've made this decision, you accept Jesus, won't you phone Radio Cape Pulpit today? If you need any help, they'll be there to help you. 021-180-5744. 021-180-5744. Or you can contact me, Pastor Brian, from Mondays to Thursdays between 9 o'clock and 12 noon. 021-552-4096. 021-552-4096. God love you and God bless you today as you made this decision. I trust you again today experience the joy of the Lord in your life as you live for Jesus from today. Blessings to each and every one of you in Jesus' name. I thank you. Well, there wasn't too many huckles there,
no,
better than the first.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.